Well, brothers and sisters, good morning. It's a privilege to be able to greet you this morning and to be involved in the wonderful work of church education. We stop and think about our own children and the impact that seminary and institute has on them and can have on like sons and daughters all across the face of the earth. And it's a marvelous thing that we're involved in. We have been very pleased by the response to the current teaching emphasis. Many have expressed feelings of enthusiasm and excitement and a renewed sense of vision. From Southern California, we received the following. I was impressed with the faculty's response to the current teaching emphasis. Most feel an elevated vision and a stronger sense of mission for CES. We anticipate seeing positive results in the lives of our students over the coming years. A coordinator in Taiwan responded this way. We are delighted for the current teaching emphasis and the direction the Board of Education is taking us through our administrator. Lately, I have been wondering how to help build the faith of our students and my own children. As I struggled with this question, I received the information you sent me in the mail. It was indeed heaven-sent and an answer to prayers. Comments from the Salt Lake Valley included, I have witnessed a humble eagerness in our area to strive for continued improvement with the principles and skills encouraged in the current teaching emphasis. An email from the Pacific added, the concept was welcomed warmly through a full discussion of the bulleted points. The best responses came from the awareness of the new emphasis being linked closely to the broader mission of the church. And from the eastern part of the United States came the following. It is wonderful to know that we are working in unity with other church departments. It seems to carry a sense of oneness in this work. I think that without a single exception, the men in our area have been anxious to make the current teaching emphasis the centerpiece of their in-service with the volunteers. There has been much more a sense of how can we best implement this, rather than how can we implement this? Much more a faithful echo of Nephi than the skeptical irritation of Laman and Lemuel. Perhaps it would be helpful to give some context and to review some history of the current teaching emphasis. At the headwaters of the Nile in Uganda, tributaries of various sizes fill Lake Victoria and then send the water overflowing northward through Sudan toward Egypt and the Mediterranean Sea. Along the way, this river provides transportation and nourishes and sustains life. In a similar way, there have been a number of events and conditions acting as tributaries that have converged at this particular time to move us forward with the renewed power of a great river in our teaching and increase our ability to sustain and nourish spiritual life with the living water of the gospel. First, I would remind us all that during the last few years of his assignment as administrator, Stan Peterson was impressed to speak a number of times about the importance of cleansing the inner vessel. That was and continues to be a fundamental prerequisite to raising the level of our teaching. Another very important tributary has come from the brethren. President Gordon B. Hinckley, Elder Henry B. Eyring, and others have continued to challenge us to raise our sights, to do more, to do better. Our seminary and newer institute curriculum has been prepared with a greater emphasis on the doctrines and principles found in the standard works, and is written in such a way as to give teachers greater flexibility under the direction of the Spirit. The teaching improvement package was completed with its variety of helpful and instructive resources for preparation and classroom presentation. A very important catalytic tributary has been the recent adjustment in the way missionaries teach, relying more on the Spirit and their own words to explain and testify of the doctrines and principles of the gospel than relying on a memorized text. In conjunction with this has come the raising of the bar with regards to worthiness, capability, and preparation concerning those who wish to serve the Lord as full-time missionaries. As these changes were being implemented, there came a request from the Missionary Executive Committee to the Church Educational System. What can CES do to help us better prepare missionaries? A significant part of the current teaching emphasis is a response to that request. During this same time, Paul Johnson was having some deep feelings about the Scriptures, the key role of Scripture study, and a concern about the depth of our students' understanding of the Scriptures. Also, motivated by the expressed concern of several brethren of finding ways to get the Scriptures into the hearts and lives of the students, a number of individuals in CES were having similar impressions about how this might be done more effectively. The distillation of thoughts, feelings, and ideas flowing from these various events and circumstances led to the creation of the current teaching emphasis. After considerable internal scrutiny, and after receiving the approbation of the Missionary Executive Committee, the current teaching emphasis was taken to the Board of Education, where it received their endorsement and was characterized as very timely. Let me briefly review the current teaching emphasis. The CES objective indicates that church education has a significant responsibility in strengthening the youth of the church and inviting them to come unto Christ. Preparing students for missionary service and temple ordinances has always been a focus in church education. By implementing the following emphases and adjustments, CES will more directly prepare young people for effective missionary service, to receive the ordinances of the temple, and to emulate and teach gospel principles throughout their lives. This will also help deepen their faith, testimony, and conversion. We are to learn and teach by the Spirit. We are to encourage students to learn and teach by the Spirit. We are to emphasize more strongly the importance of reading the Scripture text for each Scripture course of study. We are to help students develop a habit of daily Scripture study. We are to help students understand the Scriptures and the words of the prophets, identify and understand the doctrines and principles found therein, and apply them in their lives in ways that lead to personal conversion. We are to help students learn to explain, share, and testify of the doctrines and principles of the restored gospel. We are to give them opportunities to do so with each other in class. We are to encourage them to do so outside of class with family and others. We are to emphasize the mastery of key scriptural passages and help students understand and explain the doctrines and principles contained in those passages. In seminary, this means we will emphasize scripture mastery so that students better understand the doctrines and principles in the 100 scripture mastery passages and are encouraged to memorize those passages. In institute, this means we will build upon the foundation of the 100 scripture mastery passages and foster a depth of understanding of other key passages of scripture, with encouragement to memorize such passages. CES will develop a doctrine and principle competency expectation for each course of study. This will include such things as a clear understanding of the plan of salvation, the atonement of Jesus Christ, the apostasy and restoration, and the unique position of the restored church as the only true and living church upon the face of the earth. It is crucial to keep in mind that the current teaching emphasis was never intended as an end, but as a means. It is a tool or instrument to help us teach our precious students the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in the standard works and the words of the prophets, and to teach them by precept and example so they will be encouraged, assisted, and protected as they strive to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to do this more effectively and with greater power than we have ever done before. On the 6th of April, 1981, Henry B. Eyring, Commissioner of the Church Educational System, said, "I have a hunch that 4 or 5 years from now you will see more Latter-day Saint youth in our classes pondering the Scriptures, talking about them with each other, teaching each other from them, believing that they really do have the answers to the questions of their hearts. It hasn't happened yet, except in a few cases. It is not the rule among our students, not yet." A lot of progress has been made since that prophetic statement. 20 years later, Elder Eyring, speaking on August 14, 2001, alluded to this noticeable improvement when he said,
"In your classes, students know the scriptures beyond what their older brothers and sisters or their parents did."
And he added, "But they need more.
The spiritual strength sufficient for our youth to stand firm just a few years ago will soon not be enough. The pure gospel of Jesus Christ must go down into the hearts of students by the power of the Holy Ghost. Our aim must be for them to become truly converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ while they are with us."
And as recently as February of this year, Elder Eyring said,
"You are doing a wonderful work in the lives of our young people. And yet we must do more. The troubles and the temptations our students faced just 5 years ago pale in comparison with what we see now. And even more difficult times are ahead."
That same evening, President Gordon B. Hinckley added, "I compliment you most warmly. I thank you with all of my heart. I encourage you to work at it a little harder." We could compare our challenge to someone paddling upstream in a canoe. As the terrain steepens and the current rushes downhill with increasing swiftness, the person paddling cannot continue at the same pace and still make the same progress. Sometimes the bow of the canoe seems to be moving forward swiftly against wave after advancing wave, but when compared to a fixed mark on the shore, the canoe may not be making the desired progress against the increasing rapids. The current of temptation and evil we and our students are paddling against is growing in swiftness and churning intensity and will continue to do so. We cannot continue to paddle as we have always done and expect to move forward and reach our destination. The commandments and expectations of the Lord are fixed points, and we must exert our efforts more strenuously to help the youth move forward toward the mission field, the temple, and a life of faithful service. Much of that moving forward will be the result of a sustained implementation of the points in the current teaching emphasis. We have taken the opportunity to attend a number of in-service meetings and have been a part of numerous discussions about the current teaching emphasis. From personal experience and from the comments of others, let me offer a few observations from the middle of the Mombasa Highway. While discussing the emphasis is important to get a feel and an understanding for its meaning, practicing ways to implement the emphasis is a crucial component of our preparation. We must go beyond teaching the emphasis to training the emphasis. It would be a good idea for training councils and others with training responsibilities to review several times the training video and the in-service materials on the current teaching emphasis as a guide and a touchstone to help implement this emphasis. Bullet points 3 and 4 will likely take careful thought, sustained effort, and ongoing attention to fully understand and implement, and will be keys to successful classroom instruction. A wise balance of the time taken to help our students understand the scriptures, to identify and understand the doctrines and principles, and then to apply them will take practice and discipline. There is more material in most scripture blocks than we can teach with significant depth. We must be selective under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Some principles are stated clearly in the scriptures, such as wickedness never was happiness. Others are embedded in a scriptural story or series of verses. Identifying these principles and stating them clearly and simply with doctrinal accuracy that leads to understanding is often not as easy as it seems. It will take thought and practice, and we will need to patiently nurture our students as they come to understand how to do this. As Elder Richard G. Scott has said, "Search for principles. Carefully separate them from the detail used to explain them. It is worth great effort to organize the truth we gather to simple statements of principle. Often it will take great effort, but the rewards of learning this process are far-reaching and will help move our students toward application of these principles and doctrines in their lives. There are some very good ideas covering this particular point on pages 9 and 11 in the in-service training materials. It will also take careful preparation to help our students learn to explain, share, and testify of the doctrines and principles of the gospel, and to give them appropriate opportunities to do so in class. Occasionally, a student may be asked to teach part of a class, but most of this sharing will be done with another class member or in small groups of three or four. Some basic reminders of effective group work include the following. Make sure each student clearly understands the assignment. Make the assignment simple enough for them to have success, yet meaningful enough to involve the Spirit. Give students the opportunity to have something prepared to discuss with others. This often means having students do an individual search, ponder, or writing activity before they explain or share their understanding or feelings with others. Many such activities can be done simply without moving the desks or chairs. Variety and balance are two keys to being successful and helping the students be successful. Remember that students learn in a variety of ways, and we should use a variety of methods in our teaching. Avoid predictable or repetitious patterns of instruction that cause students to lose interest. There are a number of specific ideas on pages 12 and 13 of the in-service materials related to this portion of the emphasis that would be worth reviewing. We plan to send out shortly a doctrine and principle competency list for the Old Testament seminary course with accompanying instructions. We have, with the help of a number of you in the field, selected a few of the key doctrines and principles found in the Old Testament and the Pearl of Great Price. This list is not intended to be exhaustive or definitive. You will teach many, many other doctrines and principles that are important for our students to understand and apply as well. We do believe that a heightened awareness of certain key doctrines and principles on the part of both teachers and students will result in a heightened competency. By competency, we mean that our students feel confident in their understanding of these doctrines and principles, that they can comfortably explain them to others, and that they have a clear understanding of how they can be applied in their lives. There has been significant interest in this bullet point, and many have already begun to formulate, if informally, a list of their own. In a way, this is like reading a good book. Each individual who reads the book sees various characters in their mind's eye in a certain way. Then, when the movie comes out, some are pleased because the actors chosen for the parts closely resemble their own interpretation, while others are disappointed, even dismayed, by what is portrayed on the screen. We anticipate similar reactions as you receive the Doctrine and Principle Competency List. There is a strong likelihood that there will not be a system-wide measurement instrument or test administered at the end of the year. We are planning to share on a website several ideas that an individual teacher could use to measure the growth and progress of his or her students. These ideas will be intended to measure general success rather than encouraging any comparison of scores of individual students or teachers. We want to avoid the temptation to have teachers teaching for a test with all the attendant problems that can bring. One development that we're very excited about is the creation of a CES training portion on the LDSCES.org website. Among other things, it will include suggestions for understanding and implementing the current teaching emphasis. It will also provide the capability of having ideas submitted from the field. These ideas and suggestions will be reviewed by our training division, cleared through church correlation, and then posted on the internet to be shared with others. We hope you will be willing to share your successful ideas. All of the bullet points in the current teaching emphasis are intended to lead us toward what we have been commissioned to do, teach effectively. There is enough continuity with what has been emphasized in the past that we should take the following statement from Elder Eyring to heart. One thing the Lord will require of us will not be new. It will be to do better what he has always required. Still, Elder Eyring and others have asked us to do more. In many significant ways, the current teaching emphasis is an adjustment to what we have been doing, an adjustment that can make a big difference. In the United States and some other areas of the world, people play a lot of baseball, a game which has been called a game of inches. For example, just a little difference on the spot where the bat hits the ball will make a huge difference in the result. A half an inch can make the difference between a lazy pop fly to the infield and a long drive into deep right center. And what an important difference it makes for the player. One trots dejectedly back to the bench after making an out. The other rounds second at top speed, safely on his way to third, arriving there with great excitement and satisfaction. A small difference can make all the difference on whether the player eventually makes it home or not. And that is what we want for each of our students, to make it home. A good coach understands the importance of the preseason for instruction, practice, and the fine-tuning of skills, even for professionals. This process continues once the regular season begins. During a season, the coach will try various lineups, use a variety of strategies, and continue to improve basic skills so the strategies can be implemented with greater success. It will be the same with the various bullet points of the current teaching emphasis. Many areas, faculties, and individuals have worked with the emphasis during the last few months in preparation for the school year ahead. We will continue to learn, share, and refine as we teach in the coming months. We will be better in 3 or 4 months than we will be in the first weeks or months of teaching. And next year, we will be doing even better. Patience, persistence, a constant desire to improve, and a continual reaching for excellence in our teaching will be a great blessing to our students. May the Lord bless us to do that as well as we possibly can. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.